control your data. I don't know if that Shandy does that.
You see the little pop-up. Yeah.
I said, I'm not gonna do that. That's Shandy has to control the data. Sign it into that right now, might as well. Spend the time. Oh, just so you know, once you get all logged in, if you don't like touch your computer once every like 3 minutes, it's gonna go to sleep and then you have to re-put your password in. And it's gonna frustrate you, it frustrates us all. Evidently, in today's day and age, we can't get that extended to like an hour and a half. So
Might just work today.
that won't. It might. I mean, we'll find out because I guarantee you at some point mine's gonna go to sleep. Unless it does work. Like, if you touch it before we do the Pledge of Allegiance, as long as somebody doesn't do a real long moment of silence, you might be all right.
Life is hard when you're speaking.
Make sure you give me while I say something appropriate.
Hit them, just start hitting them now. Oprah's upside down.
I didn't see Dre the other day at Santa Claus, actually. I was walking my giant flatbed cart.
I'm thinking about their opportunity. I'm still going to swear in again.
Yep.
If I can say something right after that, they're okay coming. They're on the practice and all that stuff.
Yep.
That's what she said. She's put it
there. Thank you, hands. The whole nine yards.
Yeah, it was not your thing.
Talk to me on those board minutes. Stacy can be
I was.
He's usually coming every day and checking.
No, that's fine.
Too much rain, it must be real bored.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's all kinds of like farm and TikTok. Chicken garden.
Mike has been watching this. This elders of named Cindy.
Oh, it's not one of those like Bigfoot, like fake,
no,
like AI things? Oh, okay.
She's blind. There's a new Cindy.
Yeah, where the HOA come there? Get one of the mountable projectors he could watch while he waiting. See that? All right, it's 6 o'clock. I will call this meeting on July 7th, 2025 of the Smyrna School Board open. We're going to have the Pledge of Allegiance and moment of silence by Mrs. Weber.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Judy, do we have any changes to the agenda?
All right. We'll move on to oath of office. Are you going to verify the issuance?
I am verifying the issuance of the certificate of election to duly elected board member Aaron Watt.
Yep.
Thank you.
Still panning me.
Big friend.
I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America, the Constitution of the State of Delaware, and the laws of Delaware governing public education, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of school board member according to the best of my ability. And I do further solemnly swear that I have not directly or indirectly paid, offered, or promised to pay, contributed, or offered to, or promised to contribute any money or any other valuable thing as consideration or reward for giving or withholding of a vote at the election which I was elected to said office, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I just wanted it on public record now that it's official and all that stuff. I wanted to thank the Smyrna School District residents for my election. Now I have the duty and honor to serve and be the voice for all district families, all district residents, and most importantly, all the district students. So thank you, and I appreciate it. Look forward to it.
Congratulations, and thank you. All right, we're going to move on to roll call. So, Mrs. Weber?
Here.
Mr. Skuse?
Here.
Mr. Wilson?
Here.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Here.
And I'm here as well, Mr. Snell. We always do that in July?
Yes. It was on last July?
All right, sounds good.
July.
Oh, remember that? We're going to go with it. Do we have any formal public comment?
We do not.
All right. We will move on to number 7.1, election of president. Do we have any nominations for president?
I move to nominate Jonathan Snow for office of president.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Do we have any other nominations? Hearing none, we will now proceed to vote. Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Mr. Wilson? Aye. Chair votes aye. All right. Pass the gavel to myself. We're done 7.2. All right. Election of vice president. Do we have any nominations for vice president?
President, I move to elect Dr. Charlie Wilson to be vice president.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other nominations? All right. We'll move to a vote. Mrs. Weber, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Congratulations, Dr. Wilson. All right, we will now move on to appointments for office of executive secretary and assistant executive secretary, items 8.1 and 8.2. Take a motion now.
Mr. President, I move to approve Mrs. Deborah Judy as executive secretary and Mrs. Stacy Cook as assistant secretary.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Mrs. Weber, how do you vote? Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Congratulations. All right, we're going to move to administrative reports.
Okay, well, we have been doing a lot of things over the past month. One of the really fun things that we did was get together as an administrative group and have our retreat June 17th and 18th here in the boardroom. And then we were able to go out and do some team building. Secretary Martin, who is the Department of Education Secretary, Cindy Martin, she came and visited us and was able to tell our team a little bit about her and her journey here to get to Delaware. We also had a training on risk management by Jim McMackin, our attorney from Moore Shane. We celebrated the retirements of Kelly Holt and Cindy McNabb. We had some team building fun at Birdie's, so that was a really good time. And we got a lot of work done on our school improvement plans and the codes of conduct that you have on the agenda tonight. So that was a great time. Did get some really good feedback on that. Had input in planning the event, so wanted to make sure it was meaningful for everyone, and look forward to doing that again with our new team as we move forward. We have been planning, posting, advertising, doing all the things to try to make sure that our schools are staffed with the best staff that we can find in our area and beyond. So that has been the focus of what we do in the summer, and it has been the focus this past month. We are also planning for the start of the school year, even though it is only now July 7th, and we will be having our beginning of the year celebration on August 28th in the morning. More to come on that. It is still a surprise to most people, but that is something that we are looking forward to, and we will let everybody know where and when. That's it.
Did anybody have any questions for the other posted reports? All right, seeing none, unless somebody has any reason for executive session at this time, we will skip that till later, and we will move on to board committee appointments. So we'll do this as informally as possible. Does anybody have any that they are passionate about doing? Mr. Weisenberg, did you see the list on there? All right.
Not ready for legislative.
The legislative, I'd like to be the alternate for DSPA, if at all possible. If somebody wants to be the representative.
You want to switch spots?
You're the president. But
no, I'm not. You can do what you want.
You can be, you know, I think you should be the representative of the primary one, unless you don't want to do it at all.
No, I have no problem with that.
So I'll be the representative for legislative and the alternate for DSBA.
All right. Great, always down, so I have to. Perfect.
I'll be the financial.
All right.
I'm happy to do teacher of the year.
That's a good one, actually.
And BP, a business professional.
All right. Dr. Wilson, you have any you want?
I'm the teacher of the year, but I can do the business behavioral health professionals.
All right.
Freshman of the year.
Well, I will do the DSBA, and I could be the alternate on legislative if nobody else wants that. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, so 5.
6 and 9.
So we've got, nope. Aaron's going to do 6. Or Mr. Weisenberg, sorry.
7 and 9. 8. Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna do ESP. If you're gonna do ESP, Dr. Wilson, I'll do.
Well, you already have 2.
Yeah.
So who doesn't do missing? I'm sorry. Wait, you're good. Have at it.
I can either do the ag one or the other one.
You can have both if you want.
I can do both.
All right. Everybody does too. We're evenly split the 10.
How did we end up?
You're doing fine.
Yes.
Okay. So why don't you want to do ag?
Instead of
you're doing teacher of the year, right?
Teacher and business.
And business. Dr. Wilson needs the second one. You're doing all right.
You're gonna do 8 and 9.
All right.
So I'll go back over the list. Representative DSBA Board of Directors, Jonathan Snow. Alternate DSBA Board of Directors, Christopher. Representative Legislative Committee, Chris Keith. Alternate Legislative Committee, Jonathan Snow. Chair, Financial Advisory Committee, Weber. Chair, Teacher of the Year Committee, Weisenberger. Chair, Educational Support Professional Committee, Jonathan. Chair, Behavioral Health Professional of the Year Committee, Dr. Wilson. Ag Advisory Committee, Dr. Wilson. BPA Advisory Committee, Mr. Weisenberger.
We're going to talk about some.
Yeah, I got it up 3, which is fine.
You have 3.
Me.
Educational DSP. Support professional.
Yeah. So leave me on the DSP. First. Who are we missing with 2?
You're the alternate for legislative committee.
Yeah, but there's 10. There's 5 of us. We all do 2.
Financial advisory.
Yep.
And the ESP.
Okay. That's
right. There you go. Perfect.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Everybody take notes on that. You can remind us later when we can't remember.
Quiz.
All right. Item 12.1, places and dates for our upcoming schedule of meetings.
So I just took the places and dates from last year, and we usually do the meetings on the third Wednesday, but we're open to whatever suggestions you may have. These all fell in the appropriate timeline and not, you know, on breaks and things like that.
Like a curveball into this one. Is there any chance we can do any other day other than the third Wednesday of the month? I have another board that meets the exact same. It's really tough. Third Tuesday, third Thursday, second Wednesday, anything else other than the third Wednesday.
So, from a per school perspective, is there a day of the week that works better than others?
I would say no Mondays.
Mondays would be tough because that kind of stacks you guys up on the weekends.
Tuesday would be up. If we're going to change the date and keep the third week, I would say a Tuesday would be good.
Or are we better to move to the second
or
Wednesday?
Or we can move to a second Wednesday.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, I mean, for some, Nathan.
Yeah, and that's why we're talking.
Yeah,
so, we do the second Wednesday? Would that mess you up at all? Mark Wilson, you okay with that?
Yeah, I just moved another meeting.
And it's sure.
It's all.
Third Wednesday, I don't know where it's going to be, so let's go ahead and do it. Right. Tell it.
Okay. So the second Wednesday of every month?
So we're going to move all of these up a Wednesday, except for May 6th. Because that's already the first something of the month. I'm assuming that's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we'll leave May 6th alone because we have to get that done.
Financial reports sometimes may be
tonight. Maybe the next month because if it's so tight, we understand bank statements. Yes.
Some of the reports just aren't available that early. Okay.
Such as life.
FYI. Okay.
So we apologize to the general public, but some months, depending on how early the second Wednesday falls, we might not have this financials until the following month. So, which has actually happened sometimes anyway, so it's not completely out of left field.
Well, we stay the same.
Yep.
Just bring that might stay.
So the only real difference between what we've done the last couple of years and now is we're going to move Teacher of the Year back here, correct? And then what we decided. And other than that, the schedule stays the same.
Correct. So August 13th, now I haven't looked at these for holidays or any such thing, but they don't normally fall on a Wednesday.
I'm willing to bet August 3rd.
It would be August
3rd. Hey, we can't do August 13th.
That's the Thursday anyway.
You and I have a prior conflict, and we'll be out of town on the 13th of August.
You move to the last Wednesday of the month, then?
Well, so let's go with that. All of them but the one in August.
I'm on 26th. 13th. Yeah. I got to go the week.
So Christopher and I cannot do the 13th.
To the 27th.
That jammed y'all up last year.
Yeah.
So, like, let's go with the second Wednesday, and let's just pick a different date that's not between the 13th and the 17th of August.
The 12th.
We can do the 12th. Does that work for you guys?
That's a Tuesday.
That's a Tuesday.
Okay.
Just in August, though, there's just...
Sure. Right. Can you email us this so I can just put it in my calendar? Yep. Not sitting for 5 minutes, that finger in all the wrong dates.
Yeah, just put them in the calendar. The dates, it's perfect.
Well, yeah, because we have we have reports due. That's what May's meeting is always early.
We have to turn in the Teacher of the Year at a certain period of time, so we have to do it earlier.
Yes, you got to do it. Just
I'll
like
send
July,
you all
the tax rates at a certain date.
I'll send you all the meeting invites, like on your.
Even better.
Okay.
April would be the only issue that is spring break. Yes. Second would be the 8th, and the 5th is. I was just going through, you're talking about holidays, so I'm just going through real quick.
Got you all organized and stuff. That's like 8 months from now. April, yeah, Easter's line will move. All right, so April's meeting's to be announced. All right, how about this? I would entertain a motion for August meeting on the 12th, where we would then set the rest of the dates once we've had time to verify them.
Okay. I'll send you.
Second.
Right.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All right, Mrs. Weber, how do you vote?
Mr. Weisberg.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisberg?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
August 12th. Here.
Here. Yep. We'll leave the public in suspense for the rest of it. All right. Old business, item 13.1, athletic ticket pricing, 25-26 school year revision.
Mr. President, I move to approve the athletic ticket pricing school year 2025/26 revision as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the athletic ticket pricing revision for the 25-26 school year as submitted. Is there any discussion?
So this was more along the lines of our changes last month were a little too drastic.
That was the concern. Yeah, once the high school athletic staff saw the change and realized how different it was, and kind of sent you the compilation of all the other districts where the air prices were, we were going to be dramatically higher than they are. Some concern about that. I'm trying to break the point on.
I did appreciate that graphic. Just to let us see what the other schools are doing, because you don't want to be that school that's so far out there compared to the rest of them.
So this actually makes the students' price 50 cents cheaper.
Right. Students would stay at $5.
Yeah.
And that is the tickets sell to them at $5.
Okay.
It's during the school day. At the gate, they would be the same.
They would be the $7.
Yes.
Okay.
But if they buy them ahead of time, our students during the day, $5.
Okay. And then so all tickets would be $7, which is it's $5.50 now. It would go up to $7. Okay. And that's basically because of our costs that we're now encumbering for the fees.
Yep. The additional cost that are going to continue to go up over the next few years. Last season, it was a $5 ticket, but the guest paid the fees. The $7 cost has the fees embedded.
Okay.
So it would be 7 plus fee.
Okay.
And is the idea this is going to help speed things up as well with people standing out there arguing about they have a $5 ticket? It's, yeah. Right. Any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll now proceed to vote. Mrs. Weber. Mr. Skuse.
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger.
Aye.
Dr. Wilson.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. All right, new business. Approval of board minutes from the June 11th, 2025 board meeting.
Make motion to approve minutes from the June 11th, 2025 meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the board minutes from the June 11th, 2025 meeting. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we'll now proceed to vote. Mrs. Weber, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Item 14.2, school choice 25-26 school year.
President, I move that we accept and approve the school choice 2025-26 school year as submitted.
A motion and a second to accept the school choice 25-26 school year as submitted. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll now proceed to vote. Mrs. Weber? Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Item 14.3, FY 2026, recommended tax rates, final.
So, got a little presentation for you tonight, just give you a little visual of where we're heading regarding tax rates, and also I have a couple with our things lights out here. Good job. Very good. So, just a couple of things in regards to what would drive a lot of our budget here in this district. Okay. Obviously, the majority of our budget is based on personnel costs. Those costs obviously continue, whether there are local increases in salary or not. Everyone does increase in steps. Everyone does earn degrees throughout. So there's always an increase in cost in that regard. Obviously, the next biggest thing that drives most of our revenue, a lot of our revenue, was kids in the seats, enrollment in our district, and the units that we generate. We're looking to see some growth this year. As you are probably aware or not, we did not grow last year. In fact, our enrollment did decrease about 123 students. And that does have a cost. It has an impact on some of our operational costs. Obviously, utilities may continue to increase like they do everywhere else. Contracts and agreements with a lot of our special services. A lot of our contractors that come in and fulfill the special ed needs of our children, because we are losing staff There's just a shortage everywhere. A lot of our special services people, and this is not a Smyrna thing. It's not really a state thing. It's like a national issue. Just a general student need and our major projects. Obviously, we're in three major capital projects, and we have just one little portion left of our market pressure funding to come to us with our most recent bond bill of the June referendum that our community supported to fulfill our obligations with our constructions. A couple other things.
I try not.
Couple updates. As you may be aware or not, the budget was just approved, and part of that budget did give salary increases across all classifications, teachers, clerical, custodial, minimum of 2%, where teachers up to 7.3% on the state portion of their salaries. Opportunity fund did see a little bit of a decrease, and that is all driven by our low income and MLL students. We are receiving now year three of our security and safety funding. Just got it last week, so they did give us our allocation of about $416,000, just about where we were last year. It goes and supports a lot of our safety needs. MCI, or enhanced MCI funding, just a little bit lower. And again, a lot of that is driven by enrollment. Our enrollment decreased and our allocation decreased just a tad. And of course, our major projects funding. So with that being said, we are here tonight to present to you our local tax rate. And just a little background, our local taxes are made up of four components. The first one being current expense. Of course, that's the major portion of our operations. And that's the part that really focuses on our referendum. We can't change our current expense rate unless the voters approve that rate increase, except for reassessment years. And I'll discuss a little bit about that in a minute. The match tax collections, of course, that's broken down. We do collect for our math, reading, and extra time programs, technology, opportunity fund, minor cap improvements that's required, and also our vocational equipment replacement, which is a pretty minimal cost or minimum amount. A third component is tuition tax. That tax is used to support solely our special ed population. That tax is used to fund a lot of our special programs, private placements for our special needs children, and some student support throughout the district. And of course, the last piece is our debt service. That's basically paying back our loans for our construction. And that is set up on a schedule based on the amount of money that we are borrowing. So looking at this year, and I did come across an error I picked up on a minute ago. This should be FY25, and this should be FY26. So looking at last year, we looked at our goal was to collect $11.485 million. Match tax last year, $1.458, $3.5 million in tuition, and our debt service was collection was $3 million. We were pretty much on target. We earned just a little bit more based on our growth, not much. This year, based on our rate that is set, I'm looking to collect about $11.6 million. Match taxes, we're asking a little bit less. The reason being is that our MCI required match is slightly lower than it was last year. With all of the other match, we're keeping it flat with all of our specialists. Our specialists, our math, science, or extra time, opportunity fund. I spoke to our director of special services before they left. We're keeping that flat as it was last year, too. We had the opportunity to collect a little bit more, but I think we got enough. We discussed to try to lessen the burden of taxpayers and at the same time maintain the programs that we currently have. Tuition, we have seen a really significant increase in our special schools payments and our special ed support, our contractors that are required for that. So we're looking to increase that about $1 million. To fulfill that, also to replenish some of our reserves that we sort of keep on hand, about 30%. Reason being is we can't predict who comes in our district on any given day, and someone may come in with a strong need, and we would have to have those funds available to support them. and debt service. You notice that the debt service is going down a little bit. Reason is, this year our debt service payments was delayed. Nothing we did wrong. We received our funding a little bit later in the year, so we didn't start paying that until a little bit later in the year, along with some of our interest that we earned with debt service. So that sort of built up our reserve a little bit. So this year we're not looking to collect the 2.9 where I was originally collecting on that part. We can't hold more than 10% contingency of that. So overall, we're looking to collect about $20 million, about an increase of $623,000 compared to where it was last year. So where does that, how does that translate over to the counties? Kent County, I'll talk about that first. Since we went through the reassessment last year, we set our current expense tax rate at 0.1919 based on the board's recommendation to increase the revenue by 2%. We did have the authority to go 10%, but with some of our referendum results, our board decided that we would just really take in for delinquencies and increase it by 2% to cover that. So I built the Newcastle County rate on the same 2%. Additional revenue in Newcastle County is pretty minimal. Kent County is about 88% of our county revenue comes from Kent, 12% comes from Newcastle. So it's not a lot of revenue received in current expense. So the 2% is about $26,000. Max taxes, so equating this 1.367 does equate across the county at that tax rate would generate that revenue, tuition, debt service across. So Newcastle County, we're looking at a tax rate of 0.3050 per 100 assessed dollars based on the new reassessment. In Kent County, 0.3285. So what does that look like for a home? I've got a couple examples here. We're both waiting. Oh, there it comes. So looking at Newcastle, and we have a home here. So the person back in 2024, I'm going to go back 2 years because something happened a little bit last year. I wanted to explain. So this person's assessment value was $97,100. And it was that last year also in Newcastle because the reassessment didn't incur. This year, their reassessment is $469,400. Most of them, you know, are very nervous because they're not sure how this is going to affect their taxes. In 2024, their school tax bill was $1,626.43. When Kent County was reassessed, the amount of reassessment, full valuation, was so great, it actually altered the distribution between Kent and Sussex County just a little bit. And so what happened was those residents in Newcastle County last year, almost every one of them saw a tax decrease for that 1 year. So this person's taxes actually went down $251. Reassessment occurred this year. Now it's $469. Looking at the new rate of 0.3050, they're looking to see a tax bill of $1,431.67. So if you compare it between 24, I'm sort of looking at it as a one-off. 24 to this year, this person is going to have a tax decrease of about $190 based on the recommended piece. So that's one example. And I wanted to pick someone that sort of had the same assessed value, but had different current assessed values prior to this reassessment. So here's another example of a homeowner. Prior to the reassessment, their property was assessed at $39,300. Look at the difference, 97, 39. But when they reassessed it, their value is just about the same. And what's going to happen, they're going to see a considerable increase in their taxes. You can see the difference. For many, many years, this property here, even though it was really assessed at the same, it was paying much less than this other person. So you can see in 25, it went down $100. But after this reassessment in 26, they're looking to spend their school tax rate is going to be $1,344. So their property taxes are going to go up 120%. And they're going to call me and they're going to find out and they're going to ask why, what is going on. And really looking at the visual here, and I'm going to say your assessed value was extremely low for probably 40 years. And they were being really under tax during that time. So if there's going to be those that are going to see a tax decrease, there's going to be those that see a tax increase in Newcastle County. So, and again, example for Kent County, this is what's happening is now that distribution is starting to go back. What's going to happen in Kent County? Everyone in Kent County is going to see a slight tax this year. Not a lot, but a little bit. So here's two examples. Here's a home that's assessed at $592,000. Last year, they paid $1,970, $18 in school tax. This year, with the current rate, the way we have recommended, would pay $1,944, about a $25 decrease over their entire tax bill. Here's another person. You can see that this person last year saw a tax decrease of $374. This person here saw a tax increase of $209, but both of the properties are going to see a decrease based on the recommended rate for this year. So everyone can kind of see a slight increase because the rate was 3,328 last year. Now we're looking at 3,285. And it's based on that reassessment is created this. Now moving forward, everything will be all relative unless they do reassessments across the years again. And I think the goal is all three counties to do the reassessment at the same time. It will create this flip-flop, this here top. And again, we're only one of four districts that fall into this. Most districts don't have this problem because we cross counties. And of the 19, we're one of the four. So, any questions on the tax rate before we move to the budget?
Yeah, the Kent County's current expense rate, is that the same as last year?
Correct, right here. This is last year's 0.1919.
Right.
And we cannot change that now unless we go to referendum.
So while the rates are exactly the same, the amount that they made for that particular part.
Correct. So these adjust based on RD.
Yeah.
That no. Top line does not change in Newcastle. That go back one that 0.68. This amount right here now will be locked until
the current expense.
Yeah. The current expense. Round. All right. So moving on to our projected revenue now, this year's budget. I pretty much simplified, obviously, in the minutes and other documentation, I have a more detailed. But this year, we're looking to project at this moment about $86 million in state revenue. Not a lot of changes. The big change is the Division I units, an increase in state salary. Obviously, we receive more state funds in order to support that. State transportation, I always figure in about a 5 or 6% increase. And it depends on a lot of nuances, kids routing, mileage, things change from year to year. So sometimes it's hard to pinpoint and predict exactly how much it's going to cost. Other state revenue. Now, if you look at this number here, you're wondering what in the world? It's a $1.3 million decrease. A lot of things that we get throughout the year based on enrollment, such as if we don't have staffing for related services, if we don't have staffing to support some of our programs, we have to cash those units in and we receive revenue for that. And at this time, I don't have that built in because we don't know how our enrollment and how our needs are going to pan out. But the revised budget would have those amounts added in if we do so. This year, our operating reduction amount is $1.068 million. That's our give back to the state. And a lot of times we do that in regards to personnel and holding personnel back. So our total state operating units, about $83 million, with our non-operating about $1.3 million. Our projected revenue in local, obviously I just presented that we have about $11.6 million in current expense. That's that top tax rate. With other pretty much flat pieces there in regards to our increased local revenue. There is one little piece here that some may question. Wow, we received $532,000 in indirect costs. This year, we're only expecting to get $115,000.
The reason being, we did benefit a lot of that from our ESSER projects that are no longer in place. So we are not looking to collect any of those indirect costs because they are not with us anymore. We're looking, again, to increase tuition tax. That's part of our tax rate. And that's the second sort of part of that there. So over and all, it's pretty much running in line with what our tax rates are in that regards.
Yep. Just because we were just discussing the athletic gate with the change of pricing, is there no escalator on increase on that path?
So this is revenue that we receive. A lot of the athletic expenses are covered by the district. That's well more, that is, are the expenses of the athletics in our district well exceed how much we receive. Now, once all of that part is, I would monitor our gate receipts to see if there's any.
Expenses that we would incur now before we would see whether or not to get that funding?
Yeah, so these types of like Title II, Title IV typically roll into the Title I program through our consolidated grant. So it's not something that we utilize right away. So it's not something that we would need right away. But in this fiscal year, yes.
So before we need to spend that money,
we correct. We will have the answer, right, one way or the other. And we're not the only district, obviously, at this. Situation. Pretty significant, $500,000. So our expenditures, our revenue and our expenditures are balanced. Again, some highlights, it's pretty flat where we were last year. The operations piece, we received an additional $215,000 last year for help homeless on our unit count. So we received some additional operational funds to offset some of our utility costs. With our hold harmless number now being below where we are currently right now, you most likely will not receive those funds. So something to consider, really depends on growth. If we're growing, that's a sort of a viewpoint in that regards, but based on current piece right now. And the remainder of our expenditures, again, state portion of salaries increase, obviously with state salary increases, transportation funds, and it's just based on sort of how it closed off last year, where we start.
Mr. Gow, this salary increase that everyone gets a 2% raise in the state portion?
A minimum of 2% across all classifications. Teachers are receiving at a 7.3% on this state
portion. Just teachers. It's not in classrooms for
anyone paid off the
teacher. Yeah, but they're able to get off the teacher.
Here's some of our non-operating expenditures. course, there's things like our debt, our minor cap improvements, state private placement, and our vocational equipment. Again, very minimal piece in that. Any questions?
I would entertain a motion for item 14.3, 4.6, as amended tax rate the following.
So moved.
Motion and a second to accept the item 14.3, FY26, as amended tax rate is final. Any further discussion?
No, just for the tax.
Just for the tax.
Yeah, we're, as school districts, we're locked into our current expense rate, except for in reassessment year, where the school board has discretion to increase those 10% over the prior year's total revenue. We did this last year for Kent County. Kent and Castle are separate, and they're all just separated. The school board at that time took the made the decision because. For myself, why I put it that way, but because we were going for a referendum and adding another tax burden, the 10% increase, and then after the referendum didn't seem realistic, at least from my perspective. So instead, we went with the 2%, which is the natural growth that we'd see every year typically. And we have the ability to do that this year for Newcastle County, which would go that 10%. But instead, this recommended rate is that same as what we did last year in Kent County, which would be just the 2% natural growth that we would have seen any other year. That's right.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll have to submit vote against the order.
Mr. Steve Sox.
Mr. Weisberg.
Aye.
Dr. Wilson.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. On to item 14.1, school year 2026 recommended budget preliminary. 14.4, I apologize.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 14.4, FY26
recommended budget preliminary as complete. We have a motion and a second. Budget preliminary. Is there any discussion?
That would be what you just went off through. At
the same time we talked about the tax rate, you also discussed our preliminary budget.
As you're aware, there's always variances that will occur throughout the year. January, February, revision.
The only thing that's constant is change.
Always.
Our account kids, there's only so much we can do.
What was our enrollment number down?
123 students last year.
123 students. So, and when will they set our the number that they don't?
The hold harmless.
Hold harmless.
It's already been set.
That's set for this coming year.
It's below. We were guaranteed 489.02 last year. I think this year they're guaranteeing us. But we were at 480 last year, so we have to grow. I mean, that's where we're at.
There is potential for us to grow this year. We just don't know yet.
We don't.
Until we get into the year, but we will not go below that number. We will not go below the number that you used to set this budget. Is that fair?
Any further discussion on the preliminary budget? Hearing none, we'll now proceed to vote. Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Moving on to item 14.5, administrative salary scale revision.
President, so the Board of Education in 2020 approved a district administrative scale based on recruitment and retention efforts and to promote pay equity by establishing compensation based on the position's level of responsibility. Now, as part of that initial approval, part of that was to continue to monitor, doing a market analysis, and monitor for changes if need be to make adjustments in the index value. So we are here tonight, or I'm here tonight, to make a recommendation to revise the index values because to make it better aligned with market analysis of areas, districts around the state, and to be better aligned with their level of responsibility.
If I can just add that when this salary scale was put in place, it's based on the teacher scale, but nowhere on the horizon was that the state would move to make the incoming new teacher at 0 years, $60,000. So increases in that salary scale have then pushed us to a point where we need to adjust back to be sure that we're staying in line with the market value of principals, superintendents, assistant principals, et cetera. So it was recommended when it was first implemented that you continue to adjust that and that it stays in line with the market value of those positions and does not go beyond it.
So just to be clear, Mr. Scott, the administrators are paid the teacher scale, which is the 25 plus their doctorate. Is that right? A multiplier off of that. And what this recommendation is lowering that multiplier.
Correct.
For each of those positions.
But at the same time, we still will have the ability to collect the full state amount authorized.
I can only speak for myself in this, but this is nothing against our administrators. We value everything that they do and think that they are a huge asset to our school district. We really appreciate everything they do. We just need to make sure that we are in line with the rest of the school districts.
You have elementary AP and middle AP. Is high school the secondary AP?
Secondary, yep.
So, okay, that's high school, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I would entertain a motion on item 14.5, administrative salary scale revision.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second on item 14.5, administrative salary scale revision. Is there any discussion?
Is there a time frame? This is 2020. Is there a time frame for this or just as needed?
We monitor it every year. And as Mr. Skews mentioned, or I'm sorry, Ms. Judy mentioned, the state portion of the teacher scale is growing very rapidly. And the way the index was built originally was prior to all of that even taking place. So it's worked to adjust it and keep it within alignment with the others. Okay.
Well, Mr. Weisenberger, since you only are down 7 days at before your term, put this on your plate, right, real quick. You're going to be here longer. You're guaranteed to be here longer than any of the rest of us. I would implore you to hopefully make sure you've seen this at least two more times by the time you either are getting reelected or making a decision to step away from the board. Because the only way that we can ensure that we are in line is to monitor this, right? And with the way the state's going and everything, you know, none of us were here when they made this. So, but I don't, you know, that like Mrs. Judy said, they didn't see the state going, we're going to pay new teachers 60 grand. So when they built this, it probably was good and just, I'm assuming, but with changes made, we were getting, you know, we were getting out of line. So this kind of we're reeling ourselves back into the median, to the mean rather, instead of, you know, unjustly, you know, trying to lead the pack in all aspects. So I think this is a sound decision And, you know, thank you, Mr. Gott, for the work you guys did on this. Thank you, everybody. That's what I have to say about it. Any other discussion? All right. If not, I'll entertain a vote. Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Item 14.6, approval of administrative consultant contract.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 14.6, administrative consultant contract as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on item 14.6. Is there any discussion?
I would ask for like an explanation real quick on that one. Let's get all right. Chance.
So after last December, when our previous superintendent resigned, we reached out to Mr. Perlman to come in as a way to help us to find a path forward, is not the correct term, but kind of bring some of his expertise from his roles as administrator in multiple other districts, his familiarity with Smyrna, just kind of help us do a bottom-up, top-down kind of evaluation of where we were. When you're in a position where you can do or have the opportunity to forge a new path, pick a new direction if need be, we felt it was best to, you know, try to get somebody familiar with Smyrna, but yet removed enough that you're getting a non-biased, completely outside of the realm opinion. And then with that, he does some, what's the best way to, principal, associate principal, coaching, mentoring. And he's been doing some of that with different administrators. Our team currently, if you look at it, we are very young, right out there, inexperienced in a lot of different principal and associate principal roles as people have moved up. So he will have the opportunity to continue to do that, you know, continue to work with some new people at supervisor director roles. It's a part-time, not really part-time, it's a contractual deal. He gets paid for the hours it works. He has been a very big asset. It is nice, from my perspective, I won't speak for the rest of the board, to just, you know, be able to pick his brain, and he sees things that I don't see, because he came up through education, right? I'm just a guy that plays the dirt most of the time. So it is nice to get that somebody that the board at the time, and I would, you know, was familiar with, had he was one of my APs, you know, he worked here for a long time before he went on to bigger and better things in other districts. So it was, the comfort level was there. And so this would allow him to continue to mentor these new principals, these new APs, instead of hiring in a full-time position and, you know, locking somebody into a guaranteed salary for X number of years. This kind of gets us the best of both worlds, best bang for our buck, in my opinion.
He's helped us create the new leadership team. He's helped me tremendously. I enjoy working with Eric. And I both learn from him all the time. And he's helped us with the vision of the Smyrna School District. So we'd love to have him stay on to continue to work with the new leaders that we have in place, because we have quite a few.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's an asset to all of us.
No, that's not, just clarify.
Seriously.
Just clarify general knowledge, but just wanted to make sure I'm still.
And he could probably give you a much better history of than I can, but
it can vary from 4 hours a week to 10 hours a week, depending, and maybe not even. He's got a new grandbaby, so sometimes he's doing things, but yeah, it's not a daily, maybe twice a week. So.
All right.
Thank you. Are we sharing an office too?
Yeah, we took his office away from him. Really, he's getting demoted, and he still wants to stay around. That's loyalty right there.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, I think that Mrs. Judy and her team have done an amazing job of putting together a new team, and we have a lot of new people in new positions right now. So having another person that has experience in a vast majority of those positions and has experience not only in this district but other districts in the state can only help Mrs. Judy and Mrs. Cook to further mentor those new leaders that we have in our schools, because they only have so much time, right? But to help and put boots on the ground even more and have a different perspective on leadership and mentorship, than not one's right or wrong, but I mean for those new leaders to learn from, I think it's extremely valuable.
There's no further discussion. We'll go ahead and vote. Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. All right, that's it for new business. We're going to move on to board policies. Board 15.1, policy 1380, murals, second reading.
Mr. President, I move to approve 15.1, policy 1380, murals, second and final reading.
We have a motion and a second to accept on its final reading, policy 1380, murals. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we'll proceed to vote. Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Policy 15.2, item 15.2, policy 3013, reports to the board, second reading.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 15.2, policy 3013, reports to the board for its second and final reading.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Now we'll proceed to vote. Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Item 15.3, 15.4, and 15.5 are the three codes of conducts.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 13.3, policy 5100.1, and 15.4, policy 5100.2, and item 15.5, policy 5100.3, for their second and final reading as submitted.
Second.
Motion and a second to accept item 15.3, 15.4, 15.5. as their second and final reading. Is there any discussion?
This is one I'll have an opportunity to, as that new board member thing. One of the things I read through these, and I was hard to try to figure out where the old ones were, what was exactly the difference on. So I was kind of getting that fresh start.
I really got back to some of the old ones,
but I think this is just kind of where I wanted to have that opportunity that I read these. I like them. I understand the policies and all that stuff, but just want to make sure that we're also making sure that we, as a district and a body, are enforcing these. It doesn't matter, I guess, from what I've heard again before coming and serving in this capacity, it doesn't matter if we have it on paper if we're not abiding by it. So I'd just like to highly encourage us to make sure that if we do pass these tonight, that we abide by them, that we're not just papers, rubber stamping something, and doing that. So
a little background on these. We review it every summer, two readings. In this case, the state is essentially mandating that all the districts get uniform numbering system. So this one does look, in my opinion, significantly different. We Phil spent a lot of time, Mrs. Cook spent a lot of time making sure that everything we needed lined up, but it does look different than it has looked in the previous times. But I feel like they did a good job, you know, trying to ensure it covers the things that our district wants it to cover. You know, so thank you. Is that a fair way to describe it? Right. It looks different, but we feel like we got everything in there.
Yes, sir. In some of the new codes, you'll see the bottom is italic. It says, you know, old, but I don't. But I also, you may not have thought about it, but I'll let you know if it's meaning. I made it cross. And now we'll have to add into the piece. Well, show rules that they're classical stuff in the old code. It literally depends on what it's covered under.
And typically when we have changes like that, they'll highlight what the changes are or the new, but because it had to change, you know, everything. Change the codes, the actual code numbers was the problem with the state. They wanted everyone aligned with the code numbers, but the disciplinary action or the consequence taken is at the discretion of the school district. But I would echo exactly what you said. Every time we have a code of conduct meeting, I think I say it that this is only a piece of paper. It's a matter of the enforcement side of it and everybody being on the same page to make sure that it is enforced. Because, you know, if you and I are teachers, you're the cool teacher, I'm the mean teacher, right? You know, and one of us enforces it and one of us doesn't, that doesn't set the right precedence to the kids. So I would agree with you. So we're trying to give everyone the tools that they need, but it's up to the people in the classroom and in the schools in order to enforce them.
Yeah. It was very educational as I was pursuing this journey, I guess. There are things that are mandated by the state, and I've learned that. I'm learning that, but I also know that we hold responsibility to also not go above and beyond, but also find that there's some voids that we can fill and do a little bit better than what the state mandates or anything like that. So again, though, it's just that common thing that I heard, you know, as a candidate, and I'm sure you all have been there at some point and everything like that, but and we all been through it. Doesn't matter if it's on paper, but if we're not following it. So thank you for the work. Thank you, Ms. Cook and everyone. But just wanted to say that. So
there's no further discussion. We'll proceed to vote on item 15.3, 15.4, and 15.5. Second and final reading. Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisberg?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Item 15.6, Policy 4238, Certification and Credentials, first reading.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 15.6, Policy 4238, Certification and Credentials, as its first reading.
We have a motion and a second on Policy 4238. Is there any discussion?
Did we not have this prior before? We did. Okay. It seemed like such a simple thing that, okay, and I'm still catching up on those policies, but it's like, how do we not already have this and what changed? But all right, so we just didn't have it. Now we're putting it official out there. Yeah,
we had a process to work through to get people credentialed and licensed. But we needed teeth behind it because, as you know, or you're going to learn that a lot of our teachers are not traditionally educated teachers. They're ARTC teachers or special sciences teachers. And that requires a lot more work behind the scenes to get them credentialed. But it takes the educator to initiate getting the paperwork, getting the verifications, and all of those types of things. So we needed a board policy to give us the power to then enforce what we have been doing, but now it's certainly more official.
Literally trying to establish more policy, separate policies from practices and habits, just make sure policies are separate from the practices.
That is heard over times as I started again, that we, at some point, we've struck down policies. So I'm just making sure we're not putting new policies just to take up the space that we built. We got rid of the old policies. And
this is very parallel.
If I needed it, just I was making sure we didn't have it, I guess, or something.
Significantly
decrease
the number of policies that we have.
Sense out of that. But I will say that this runs parallel to legislation that was just put in place. And we do, patting ourselves on the back, but we do a great job, and you know, with Denise's group, the group that I used to work with, and Ashley Nash with licensure and certification. I mean, there was just a report out, audit out from the Department of Education with certification of special education teachers, and you won't see Smyrna on any of those lists of delinquencies. So we do a good job, but this is just something that we can hand new employees and say, this is what you need to do. So.
You got, correct me if I'm wrong, Mrs. Judy and Mrs. Robbins, but basically, of course, there is the certification process and there is, you know, that you guys go by, but the real meaning behind this is, like you said, the teeth behind it is kind of like, if you don't do it, this is what happens to you. And that was never really in writing of, if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen. And that's, we want to empower them to be able to have that consequence if those tasks aren't completed.
Giving them a timeline is much different than what it was. I mean, we realize we're in an educator shortage and we want to keep good educators, but there is you wouldn't believe, you know, just go into this database and click a few buttons and add this, and they won't do it for whatever reason. And Ashley and I have gone to the school and worked with the people to give them their own selves a $1,000 credential raise for a paraprofessional that they weren't doing. So, I mean, it happens, and we have to have something that says that these are the consequences, and it may mean that you become, you know, a long-term sub. You may lose benefits and, you know, whatever it may be. So,
I'm a guy that's been a fireman all his life. It was rocket. It's not rocket science to me. If you don't have an EMT license, you don't have a license, you can't do a job. So that's why I was just like, I didn't have this, but. Yeah.
And sometimes the responsibility is put on our department. It's like, no, this is your license and your certification. You can take this and teach somewhere else. But they also, I think young people don't understand the power of a license, a teaching license and certifications, and what, you know, how they understand, you know, go to college, I get this credential, and they have to keep up with it. They have to do the things to... And it's an asset, and they don't realize that. Mr. Lloyd could probably agree.
In 2010, I had to make sure that all of our staff was fully certified and highly qualified at that time. And it was a chore, because that was what emphasis was at that time. I knew when it did, you know, the men smarter than they had to list the paper. Smarter was not in there about districts that had people that were unlicensed, so that was good. We were not in.
Any other discussion? If not, we'll proceed to vote. Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Seuss?
Aye.
Mr. Weisberg?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. All right, moving on to discussion, item 16.1, construction. 15.7, yep, skip right over that one. All right, moving back up, 15.7, policy 1330, use, control, and management of district facilities. First reading. Entertain a motion.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 15.7, policy 1330, use of control and management of district facilities, with striking the words FFA-local chapter.
Looking for a second.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to accept policy 1330 with the deletion of the line FFA-local chapter. Is there any discussion? All right, I'll discuss.
Yeah.
So what we believe, after looking into this, that the idea when this was made was FFA was probably the only CTE that was really active with their state organization. And we may need to add in local CTEs hosting state or county events. The intent, can't speak to the intent back then. The intent now was never to place the FFA on this little island by itself. It was a carryover from previous policy that I would have to go back and look, but could have been any time since before I was born to yesterday when it was put in place. But I, after talking with Mrs. Judy and Mrs. Cook, having a category there that would allow our CTEs to host state or county level events, I do think is probably not the worst idea at no charge. But again, open to everybody's thoughts on that.
Something like that can be added for the second.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're moving that for what reason? I'm sorry.
Well, the FFA is a school club. Yeah. Would you agree? Yeah. And it is predominantly our students that are in the Smyrna FFA. Would you agree with that? Then why wouldn't it count the same way every other school club does?
So if we strike it from my thought behind that motion.
Striking it from category two puts it back in category one where it should be.
Automatically in school clubs.
Under the blanket of school clubs.
Under the blanket of school clubs.
The
amount individually as a
category two and one both don't pay fees.
No, right. Category one
category
is
prioritized over category two.
All right, got it.
So, and then, like I said, and if that was truly the intent, you know, anytime from 1980 to yesterday, was that they could host things for on a, you know, slightly larger, not national level. There's a way to build that back in at no fee. So hopefully, you know, like I said, when we get it for the second reading, they'll have crafted some beautiful words to add in there and we will be good to go.
Sure. And then you will add a procedure on the website that people go to.
Yes,
out.
And we're looking
right
at
now it's
a process. Yes, we're looking at a process, an electronic platform, which we've identified. We have one. We just need to work through the workflow. As the gentleman from America last month had mentioned, you know, it's sitting there. They're very much trying to follow the rules, waiting for approvals and things like that. We need to get beyond that because it's not just the Boy Scouts, but it's also just having a flow and being able to alert and let people know things are happening to the end result, which would be our custodial groups knowing who's in the building when, et cetera, but also along the way, fees that are being implemented and letting them know how much this would cost. And we can actually identify, you know, this room would be this charge and this room would be this charge and these hours, etc. So yeah, there's a lot to be done there, but any of you are welcome to be in on the conversation.
And the community pays for these buildings.
Yeah.
This one we're sitting in and every other one. So if we have a way we can use our buildings to get back to the communities. You know, I mean it's not a bad thing. And if it's covering, you know, our expenses for non-student facing organizations, then it's still a benefit to the community. So
that philosophy will continue.
Yep.
So you talked a little bit about the procedural stuff, which I don't think you need a policy on how to figure out how you're going to take it, reservation, how to do all that stuff. Am I missing a point that we did not have this already in place before also?
It was the whole entire thing. So it would be the use and then the form that was used and how you would go about actually getting to somebody and all that. But with technology these days, what Mrs. Judy's looking into, my personal opinion is for our role as a board is to give the guidance. And then the implementation part, you know, goes to them.
Cool. So I'll look and go find the older policy and just kind of work.
And I
20 pages.
You have a new board member book coming. Yeah. So, I mean, and you'll get the policy book. But our old policy, currently we have a service that we use that we're already paying for other reasons that we could do digital for free.
Yeah.
But because our old policy didn't cover digital, they couldn't even use it.
And it can take time to create the workflow. And, you know, Mrs. Cook and I were talking about how the workflow wasn't in place and it made it very difficult. And the workflow is not in place right now because things aren't sitting out in a queue, they're sitting on someone's desk. So we've got to be sure that we have that workflow moving forward so we can serve her.
Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll now proceed to vote. Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. All right, we're going to go round two with discussion here. Item 16.1, construction.
So I'll talk just for a second, and then I'll turn over to Mr. Lloyd. So we had the opening meeting for the new intermediate school, and of course, Mr. Lloyd can add any details he'd like. We did just schedule the groundbreaking for the new school. I haven't even gotten to tell Mr. Lloyd yet, unless you talk with Mr. Blindman. It's going to be July 15th at 10 a.m. And that is at the new site across from Sunnyside Elementary School. So I will send that out to everyone. I'm going to send an invitation to everyone. Warning, so it's not blistering hot. I'll get that out tomorrow because it's a week from today. Furniture shopping. Mr. Lloyd will probably give you a nice little synopsis on that. And then I did provide everyone with the board policy on naming a building because we need to start talking about that with two of the projects. One is Clayton Intermediate School that will now be a middle school. And we have heard from the construction management group that we need to have the new name on the building by December. And so we're going to need to discuss that.
Have you created a procedure by which the community can submit names?
Or
was there one created? Hold on, what's the date on this? This would have been by the previous?
I got it.
Okay.
But
there
wasn't out. But we can discuss that. We can pull one together
and talk that through and have that done pretty quickly.
All right, so everybody, start thinking of your great names. Trying to shoot not to have like a Bodie McBoat face like that cruise ship in Europe, but you know, something cool. You know, we're excited to see the 7 submissions we get.
Yes.
It's gonna be great.
And I just want to highlight we are under budget and on time for CIS and North Smyrna. Sterling, can you show the 2 slides that I have? They're just small collages of the outside. They're anything you can see from the street, but that's the North Smyrna progress, which is incredible that it is moving along. So if you're driving on Glenwood towards the highway, you can see how the projection out the back of North is just incredible.
More striking when it was still yellow.
Yeah.
Because you were driving this huge yellow wall coming at you.
About 9:15 Friday night, I realized we missed a huge opportunity. We could have leased out that second floor space for people to sit and watch fireworks. Fill it.
School facilities.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like we could have
put roof on the workflow.
You know?
Yeah. Yep. So that's North, and then you can show the next one. It is CIS. And they have broken through that left side of the building through the cafeteria to expand the kitchen and the eating area already. So they have been working very hard on that. And that the top right is the opening for the new locker room area in the gymnasium. And then Mr. Wilson, because I don't know if you've ever seen me out at the lacrosse fields. Well, they're not lacrosse fields, but they're field fields. We play lacrosse on them. I am a freak about parking on the grass. And now we have a fence there. No grass parking. And that's not just for us. That's for softball and flag football and Pop Warner. Though Pop Warner has been amazing. They actually towed some people.
During lacrosse season, it was funny. I would yell at people for parking on the grass. They're like, you can't tell me where to park. Actually, in this instance.
I was going early in the morning. I'm like, is that your car? Is that your car? And then I was watching the game, and I looked up, and then there was a whole line of cars. I said, forget it. So, you know, I said, and then I've gone to a lot of, like, you know, schools up north, and they just freely ask you to park on their grass. Mr. Lloyd and I have been at the same games, and I'm like, well, you can't park on our weed. I don't care. That's not allowed. So that's our fence there. And it mirrors the fence that we have at the middle school by the turf fields and the softball field. So yeah, so CIS is moving along. And now I'll pass it on to Mr. Lloyd if you have anything you want to mention.
All right. Basically, I've been on board about 5 weeks. And we're moving along, as Mrs. Judy said, that both projects appear to be on time in that their goal for CIS is the end of November. It may run to Christmas break, but it should be done along that line. The North is looking for a March-April finish, so everybody's working feverishly, trying to be ready by the middle of August so that they're not going to interfere with any of the existing school and the programs that are going to come in place when the teachers come back. So it's over a little bit, and we're going to try to make sure that we get the other schools in shape so that we can bring a lot of help over to North, try to get North cleaned up before the teachers come back. Because right now there's dust in the hallways, that they're shipping up the terrazzo in the entrance, the current entrance over by the cafeteria, where they're going to be putting rubber flooring down. They have to chip up the terrazzo, waterproof it, because if they don't waterproof it, the flooring that they were going to put down would liquefy the glue, and then it wouldn't stay down. So they have to waterproof it.
So it was already in the contract to do that. They tore that up last week. The biggest issue in North right now is the electrical issue. All right. There's been a couple, additions to North. And in order to run the electric from the old electric room across from the gym, down the hallway by the intersection, and then down the long hallway, glass hallway, and then into the new building to the new mechanical room, it was getting very, very crowded in that hallway. So we've had probably 4 conversations and walkthroughs, and Daniel and I walked through with the electrician, and we come up with a way that they can keep it inside under the roof and get through the building and make it work, because they were presenting us with a very large change order to go out the roof, run on top of the roof, all the way back with different type of galvanized conduit, because there's going to be 7 conduits that have to be run with the electric pipe inside. So we believe we got that resolved, and they've started ordering what they need to get that done. They put in the sprinkler pipe, so that's in. They've knocked out the wall for the corridor to connect from the old school to the new wing down that long hallway. They've got a temporary door, wooden door locked on it to try to secure the building. But they've got to build the wall for that corridor. So that's undergoing construction right now. The building, is coming along very well. The brick and block going up on the exterior. They're working on the interior courtyard of North Elementary because they want to get that done so that they don't have to get any equipment inside. So it's a busy little place over there. There is no parking lot right now. Parking lot is just all torn up because it's a brand new drive and a route for the bus and the cars to go through. There is parking all the way in the back, but they have built that, and the workers park back there right now. But they're working on curbing today, putting up the frames, the forms for the curbing. So they hope to get the curbing done and the basic blacktop down within the next 2 weeks. This week, possibly tomorrow, they're going to cut off the water to that building because they got to put a new water meter in. And so they're going to be without water for anywhere from 7 to 10 days. So we've talked to the staff that's there and told them that if they need to use restroom facilities or whatever, that they could either go to the high school or come to Central or whatever, try to plan accordingly, but they're not going to have water to really do it. I also talked to the custodian to try to get as much done using water before they cut it off, because they're not going to have the water to do some cleaning. But it's moving well. With the electric, we're going to probably have a change order come through, which would be about a quarter of what they were asking for to run it on the roof. And that's going to be where we come across by the old intersection. Then we're going to come across over the back of the room, over the old office, and dive into that hallway. So we may have to build a soffit where some of the pipe comes in, and the hallway going down, because of just so much is in there. There's a couple of units, heating units in the ceiling. There's piping, there's water piping, there's everything that's running down that hallway to the wing that we put back in 2010, I think it was. They're probably going to have to lower that ceiling in that 6 inches probably. But again, the cost of doing that versus putting up on the roof was a much better way to go. CIS is, in good shape. They cut through, as they showed the picture, where they cut through the wall. They have the steel beam supported. Once they cut it off and re-block around and make it nice, that'll be good. We've met with the furniture people. I coordinated a trip on July 2nd. With principal and associate principal from North and the principal and associate principal from CIS. and we went to Philadelphia with the representative from the furniture company and myself and Wayne and Daniel from the architect. And the desks that they have today are different than the desks we last bought in 2011, 2012, when we built CIS. So we've given them catalog to look at, but we want to take them up to them to see and sit in some of the furniture, see how it works. They have desks now that the arm swings and the seat swivels and all that kind of stuff rather than the old stationary desk. So what the principals know what their programs are in their buildings, how they want to use it, and how the second intermediate is going to become a middle school. So they're going to try to put together their wish list with the help of the architect and see where we come in budget-wise there. As far as the signage, I talked to Eric Wilson today. I was over there looking at, the old stone that was outside the cafeteria. I talked to the playground people. We're going to try to get it relocated to Clayton Elementary. And so he's working on a quote to give it to me this week. And it's going to be a two-phase. One is going to be to demolish it from CIS. That can be part of the contract there. But then locally, it will be installation at CIS. So he's going to give us separate quotes for both parts of that process. And I've talked to, principal at Clayton right now.
She's kind of wonderful.
Yes. And told her what her plan was. She was excited that there will be an LP. The equipment will probably have to be restained and so forth because it's got 12 years of age on it, 15 years of age on it almost. But Charlie Parker from Liberty Playground says he can spruce it back up and it will be fine, piece of equipment. Charlie's also going to look at north to see what we're going to do with any playground equipment there. So I told him, let's take care of this first thing to get it out of CIS, get it to Clayton, and then we'll look at the other thing in north. The signage. Okay. Eric had a question to me about the signage, and I think it's part of the contract with RYJ, but Eric said they're not really going to be in middle school until next year, so he doesn't know that's going to affect people. He said possibly if we could delay that, we could talk to the people because it's going to be the letters and the installation on the building, and then the sign out front. The sign out front is just an insert that they could order that and have ready. And, if we can and want to wait until near the end of next year, then we put it up. It's going to be in middle school the following year, 5th, 6th, 7th, go on from there. So I know the contractor may have said something. They want to get it done, but maybe they, maybe we don't have to put it up, or, if the board feels you go ahead and put it up. They call them in middle school next year.
That wasn't my desire to do that because, that's just going to cause people to look at it, different ways and ask a lot of questions. But Mr. Blyman was concerned about having the equipment available there and then having to move it back there. But we can talk to him offline. That's not a problem.
We should have had a meeting this week with CIS on this coming Thursday, but they were having a conflict with a couple projects they had downstate, so they've asked to move it to 17th, and we're going to go every 2 weeks there. So we meet every 2 weeks with each site. So now it's going to be 10 o'clock in the morning at North, and it's going to be 12:30 at CIS. The meetings on every other Thursday. And then they call every once in a while, like when we look at things, talk about things, try to figure issues out. And Wade has been very good. He's accessible on the phone where I can call him, say, look, they just sent me out about this. What do you think? And he'll get back to me and we give him direction to go ahead and go different things. Because there's always little tweaks where you find the existing building. Like I think I mentioned about the entrance by the cafeteria where they had to take the terrazzo down. They also found an existing condition where there were 2 6-foot beams with a block wall in the middle, but that block wall was coming out. So there was going to be a change order
for $1,500 or whatever, remove that wall and install a new beam all the way across, like 18 foot, because the block wall is supporting the two small beams for the doorways. You know, so you run across things like that in the chapel, make some adjustments. But the, you know, the change orders have been relatively small, and you know, it's been from getting able to work around. You know, I'm enjoying it. You know, I do get out there. I walk through. I talk to the principals because, again, it's their building. And they know how they're going to run it, what, you know, what the program is going to be, and where they're going to put it. But any questions that anybody has?
I don't get it.
More
better than what
my wall. Okay. The electric, they haven't told me. Okay. The water was going down supposedly tomorrow. They talked to the town today about trying to get a thing off one of the fire hydrants. They get the water off it because they still need water for their block that they're laying the bricks building. The electric, I can ask and get back to you. They have not been done with it.
I'll try to have you this week.
Yeah. If you want, do you have the number to talk to Paul? They have a new, okay. There is also a new superintendent at North. The other superintendent was Tom, and he was replaced last Friday by Scott, a new guy named Scott, who had been working at the state police barracks, and they moved him over and replaced Tom. So that. I did cut through that CIS for the new cafeteria. They put the temporary wall up so they can, the wood they put up on the inside, they're going to paint, but they allow a few feet so they can tear out the wall on the outside. But it'll be good for the building. And Eric and I looked at that today, and he was fine with that for the, you know, 3-4 months till they're finished. So they're done by December, then they'll pick that all down and the new automobile cafeteria. Okay. All right.
Mr. Lord, I just want to thank you for you taking this project on and doing this for us. We can't thank you enough.
Having last worked on CIS when it was built 2010, 2011, it's good to have somebody pop in now and then. You never know when you're going to pop in. So keep the workers, right?
Yeah.
All right. Then, you know, you just try to keep on top and ask them anything I need to know, anything going on. So, you know, it's worked out well. And, you know, I'll do the best I can for the district.
Well, oh, we have no doubt about that. Thank you so much.
Like job you have, but I think staying on top of the way you are, yeah, like being there in the building and talking to people is a huge bonus for us to be able to have that contact.
But I mean, we have two good contractors, and the people that are running jobs are good. We talked to, Paul is the son that's the, I guess, person on site, the general manager there. His father, Mike Rosario, whatever, he was there all last week, and he was the one who told me that he let Tom go. They were going to be bringing the new guy in on Monday, and that was the new guy, Scott. So.
Any other discussion on the construction? All right, moving on to 16.2, board norms and standards. As you guys can see, 2 years ago, we started just having an internal norms and standards amongst ourselves to help kind of be some guiding principles and just some ways we were going to conduct business. So review them. We'll put them on as an actionable item in August. So we can, you know, so this board, I mean, I feel it's important that each board, you know, for that year has a say in what their norms and standards are going to be, right? These are kind of, you know, our internal bylaws that we're going to, you know, we're kind of all agreeing to. So I think that every year, every board should have a say in those. It shouldn't just be an automatic rollover without looking at them. So We can discuss any of them now that you want, or, you know, feel free to, you know, email, text, whatever, any thoughts, suggestions you may have, and we'll rock and roll with them in August, hopefully. That's where we'll be.
Mr. President, I move to enter executive session.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to enter executive session. Ms. Weber, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Hughes?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. The only thing we'll have coming back out is voting on the block of personnel items. So feel free to hang out, but that's what you're going to be waiting for. So thank you guys so much.
The vote general contractor said it ain't important number one. So just let us know that I can give them a day in advance notice.
Oh, I just want to show up like you. All nerdy from work, they won't have a clue who I am.
See North?
I don't
know.
Yeah, I don't think we've walked
on like this. Yeah, we haven't. We didn't get really good. But evidently, yeah. Or the replace that was let go when it kind of came out.
Somebody closed on my computer. You had a microphone.
I closed
my computer. That's shut up.
Sandy is the man who sent an email tomorrow. I'm like, you're my hero. I was up 3 years for that, too.
Yeah. All right. Now that we're back in the open session, I will entertain a motion on personnel.
Mr. President, I move to approve items 17.1 through 17.7 as submitted.
Second.
A motion and a second to accept all items in personnel. Any discussion? Seeing none, Mrs. Weber, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Hughes?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Seeing as how that is the last actionable item on our agenda, I declare the meeting adjourned at 9:45 p.m. I do declare.
He does declare.
I'm a one in the book.
I know, right? Oh, that was one.